Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. Thank you for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian continues to look at the gift of teaching. And this is such an important study for those who are in the area of teaching or who feel called to the area of teaching because of the consequences both to the recipients of the teaching and also to the teacher who will be judged by what they're teaching. So let's go to Calvary Chapel La Mirada and Pastor Brian as he continues on this very important study.
And that aspect of repentance, that aspect of the righteousness of God being revealed in the area of evangelism is beginning to diminish. And I think it's even worse in some of the faith movement churches. As I was listening to a KNX radio, a news station, where Fred Price had an advertisement on the program, and what he said is, come to my church and you'll hear a message of prosperity and of health. And I thought, that's not the gospel. I mean, here he's advertising for non-Christians to come to what? For Jesus to come and make your life financially successful and physically successful. And where's the message of sin? Where's the message of repentance? Well, people say, well, that chases people away. You're right, it does. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Whether people mock and criticize or are chased away because the gospel is preached, so be it. Jesus chased a lot of people away as well. And so those who have ears to hear, those are the ones who are going to hear and receive that conviction. And that's one of the reasons that we are now, when we give an altar call, when people come up, we try and counsel them, we try and share with them so they understand what it is to receive Christ. But we're also giving them a tape out of Matthew chapter 7 that I did on one road leads to life and one road leads to death, for them to really make sure that they're on the road that leads to life and they're not deceiving themselves. Because I'm concerned that people are coming to a Jesus that is not revealed in the Bible. See, the gospel, the word of God, reveals the righteousness of God. You know, a book that I'm probably going to have us read next after this one that we're reading on humility is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And he has a good illustration of how the Word of God, especially the law, promotes the idea that we are sinners and are in need of salvation. And he has where Christian, who's this guy, is on this pilgrimage to the celestial city. He goes into a man's house by the name of Interpreter's House. And he's taken into a large room, which is symbolic of his own heart. And this room is filled with dust. It's just laying there, and that represents the sinfulness of his own heart. And then one man comes in, and his name is Law, and he has a broom, and he just starts sweeping all this dust, and it starts filling the air and starts choking him. And that's what the law is to do. It's to rise up your sin, to show it, to manifest it, rather than it being settled and we hide it. The law stirs it up and shows us how horrible and how really dirty our heart is, and that's to lead us to Jesus Christ. And that element of evangelism is beginning to diminish, and I'm concerned that people aren't coming in repentance and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So the gospel, as it's preached, brings conviction of heart of a man's need because they have broken God's law. They are offensive of what they have done in God's sight, and there is only by the grace of God, if they would turn in faith to Jesus Christ, would the Lord save them. Stifler, in his commentary on the book of Romans, talked about the law this way. He's pretty graphic here. He says, the pool of his heart had looked like a spring of sweet water, at least to himself. The law was the staff that stirred it up and showed it to be nothing but mud at the bottom and full of hideous reptiles. I like that. It's like a pool. You stir up at the bottom, all the junk settles, and that's what the law of God does. It shows us how sinful we are. And my concern is that man's not coming to God because of their need for sin, but they're coming for God to fix their life. And I think the Lord will fix their life, but it has to start in humility and brokenness. I'm in need of a Savior. So the law comes in and stirs up the sin, and then it points us to Christ as the only hope. And so Paul says, I'm not going to back off from the gospel. I'm not ashamed because there's a power in it to reveal the righteousness of God. Then once the righteousness of God is revealed to that sinner and they realize that they are without hope, then as they reach out in faith, if you turn over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, there's another aspect of the righteousness of God which the gospel reveals. He says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. So now there's the second aspect of the righteousness of God that's revealed in the book of Romans in the gospel, is once you repent, put your faith and trust in Christ, now this righteousness that you need in order to be right with God is given by faith apart from your own works. because you're humbled. You realize, I can't save myself. So you turn to Christ in faith, and he imputes righteousness to you. And we need to let people know that they are in a desperate situation. And it's only the preaching of the gospel that's going to convict man's heart and show him his need for salvation. I was listening to a tape by Tony Evans that he did at the Preach the Word conference that Greg Laurie just had. And he really drove this illustration home to my heart, just kind of solidified it. He said he took his family to Disneyland, and one of his little sons wandered off. And he was lost for about 20 minutes there at Disneyland, crowded day. And it really obviously brought fear to his heart, so they were looking all over to find him. And they went out, and they went over to a certain area, and they finally found him. And there he was, looking up there at Mickey Mouse, just kind of enamored, just kind of happy, totally unaware of the circumstances and the danger that he was in. So his parents had to come and rescue him, although he didn't understand that he was in danger. They knew he was, for the society and the evil and the corruption that we live in. Something could happen. Could have been kidnapped or worse. So the parents had to go and tell him of the danger that he was in and rescue him from that. And that's like the gospel. There's people just kind of enamored with life, thinking everything's fine, but actually, you know, God's wrath is ready to drop upon their life, and they don't understand the desperate situation that they're in. So we need to come along, we need to preach God's word, and to a rebellious, stubborn people, we need to preach the law of God and tell them they violated that, and even if they react against it, we don't back down or ashamed of the gospel. I think of the whole homosexual agenda, that thing, those bills that we prayed for, just because they're going to get louder and louder as we teach the Word of God against that subject. We don't back down. I'm not ashamed to proclaim what the Bible says about homosexuality. I'm not going to try and slip it in. There is no gentle way to say that the Old Testament says that if a man lies with another man, it's an abomination. There's no way to put that politically correct, because it's not politically correct. It never has, and it never will be. And man's hearts is going to get harder, and we need to preach God's word. Not back down from it. Try and lure people in. It's just kind of like the side door. And say, you know, come in with your sin, and we won't deal with that yet. We'll get to that later. God forbid. I believe sometimes I only have one chance at somebody's life to preach to them the message of the gospel, and I need to go at it and lay it on and share with them their need for Christ. And that can only be done in a way that offends people. The Bible says the cross is offensive because it says you are the sinner, you're in need of salvation, and there's no way that you're going to be saved. Prideful man doesn't want to hear that. But I don't change my message depending on what people want to hear or don't want to hear. I don't change the message. The message goes out, and if people want to receive it, they do, and if they don't, it's the consequences is upon their life. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'll go anywhere and preach the same message, the same truth laid out, because there's power in that to bring conversion, then also to bring maturity to a person's life. And that's what we need to be committed to absolutely. So there's where the power of the Word of God is, and to bring conviction upon the heart of a sinner, show them their need for Christ, and then to bring maturity to the life of the believer. Let's, second of all, let's look at the purpose of the Word of God, and we'll go to Colossians chapter 1. Here is what we are longing to do with the teaching ministry in all its forms, not just from the pulpit, but from Sunday school to home Bible study to the Bible school, any form that the Bible is taught. Here is what we are longing to see take place here at this church. You know, Jesus said, go out into all the world and to teach all the things that I have commanded them. And we want to be committed to that task. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 28 and 29. I'm going to give you a series of scriptures. Some I'll just quote because I have them in my notes here. Others I will have you turn to because I want you to see how the Word of God's wanting to work within our life. Paul says in verse 28, him we preach, warning every man. And that's that aspect of the law, the violation of the law, the breaking of God's command, whether it's a believer or unbeliever, warning about sin and its consequences. And teaching every man in all wisdom. There's the warning, the exhortation, as well as the teaching. I believe that the Bible needs to be taught with both in mind. I think if you just exhort and exhort and exhort, you could run people ragged and they don't really know how to apply the Word of God because they haven't been instructed, they haven't been taught. And I think that's what happens when a church will eventually begin to stagnate. The message is the same over and over and over again. It's just kind of an exhortation, but there's no depth to it. There's no meat in the teaching, the explanation of the Word of God. And people mature to a point, but they just kind of get at the same place because that pastor or teacher is not teaching them the Word as well. There needs to be that blending. But just to teach a group of people is dangerous as well. Then you get people with a lot of facts, but no hearts. Needs to be that exhortation, that warning as well, that motivating to godliness, that motivating to service as well, that challenge that comes from the Scriptures. And here's what we're looking for, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay, how many of you are perfect? Well, if you raise your hand, they may nail you to a cross, so be careful. So if you aren't perfect yet, we're not done here at this church. That's the goal, to present you mature, complete. I think perfect has a different meaning in English. It's more of the maturing, the completing of your life in the things of Jesus Christ. And the teaching, the warning, is to help bring that about. That's one of the main aspects I find in the Bible that brings a maturing of your life. God uses trials. God uses the body of Christ. God uses grace. God uses prayer. But obviously the Word of God is one of the key elements that He uses to bring this maturing in Christ Jesus. And that's really the desire of my heart, what really, you know, fuels my heart to continue to go on, to continue to be involved in the work of God here, because I want to see you come to maturity. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of maturing to the point that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's what I see happening within churches that aren't taught. Some new thing comes in and they jump on it because they don't have the Word of God to discern if this is true or not. They jump away from the Word and they say, well, my spirit tells me, or I discern, but they don't have the authority of the Word of God to back it up. And they go more and experience what they're feeling rather than what the Word of God says. And so we need to get to that point of bringing maturity.